Check Out This Guy, the podcast where Morg is dead, unfortunately. And guess who killed her? My traitorous co-host, who will introduce herself in 1 second. But first, I'm Emery. My pronouns are they, she, he.
I did not kill Morg. You can prove nothing. Morg, I have been assured, is safe and is out having fun with friends. I will not stand for this accusation.
The AC is on and his favorite music is playing.
I am Izzy, and I am She-Mode today.
And we have a guest, a returning guest, even.
Yes, hello. I'm also Izzy. Once again, I return to cause problems on purpose. I use CCer.
We got another Izzy.
I use CCer, or they them.
We need a third.
There needs to be a third Izzy. That way it's just all Izzy's. Oops, all Izzy's.
Oops, all Izzy's. But we
all Izzy's.
The third one needs to spell it a different way.
Like I-Z-Z-I-E.
Yeah, sure. And you have a podcast where you're only allowed to talk about Koshiro from Digimon Adventure.
Jesus.
That's funny if you know the differences between the sub and the dub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Anyway, Izzy parentheses guests, who are we talking about today?
We are talking about one of my primary characters from my actual play podcast, Hope's Hearth, Captain Sky Ol-Yoon, which I can get some art to show the both of you and describe them for the audience. Captain Sky Ol-Yoon is a space pirate who is the captain of the space pirate ship, the Cackle. And I ascribe to Treasure Planet was really fucking cool. So it looks like a pirate ship and not a spaceship. Because Treasure Planet was really fucking cool.
Treasure Planet was cool.
Yeah. You're with the furries today. Of course, Treasure Planet was cool.
Where is this art? What folder is it in? Oh my fucking god. I know you organize things by month and year, but... also, you suck.
This is why my downloads folder is like the same folder across, like, it started like 3 computers ago at least, and it's completely unsorted. But I can always find everything.
Izzy, I do hope that you know every time you bring up your downloads folder, it makes me mad.
I love you.
Wrong year. If I know what year I did the art in, this is a very good organization system.
Hey, I also organize my art archive by year.
I mean, if it makes you feel better, what I do is if I don't think I'll ever access a file again, then I sort it into an archive, which is all sorted and arranged.
If you don't think you'll ever access it again, why don't you sort it into the trash?
Okay, here we go. Got you guys some art.
Okay.
Okay.
This is a long, long man.
Yeah. Oh. So, Captain Sky Ol-Yoon is an alien. So, like, the setting of Hope's Hearth is a kind of sci-fantasy solar hope punk setting, very, very, like, what if we made Firefly and Star Wars, like, the same universe and also good? Just to simplify it, because I, in particular, really like Firefly, and I like some of the shit in Star Wars. And I was just like, what if we made this better? And everybody agreed with me, so... This show is definitely my baby, which is why it features a lot of alien species that I have made up. Captain Ol-Yoon being one of them. They are called Dolines. And Dolines are a species from a lost planet. There's sort of a diaspora of them in the universe, who have been removed. Like, I have not properly come up with the universe lore for why they're not on their planet anymore, mm-hmm. beyond something happened. And Captain Olyun is a member of the diaspora, and Captain Olyun uses C-seer pronouns the same as me, for reasons I will get into.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
that one's complicated.
Yeah, I'd like to describe what I'm looking at visually
Please.
Here. So, yeah. I would describe this character as kind of like an anthro hybrid of like an eastern dragon and a saber-toothed tiger. Uh-huh. They got purple fur, they got some piratey clothes. They're like 40% midriff because they're very, very long.
Yeah, four arms.
Many people describe them as saber-toothed ferrets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So two quick things. One, this is a top-tier design.
Very
There's
good.
The actual reference sheet for what a Dolene looks like.
Nice. And two, this will make sense in the future because I don't think we've talked about Tim. Emmy will at least get this, but now I wish Tim looked like that.
Feel free to make your own Dolene. I encourage it. It is a species that I want people to make their own in because I think it's super interesting. And I like seeing what people do with the design. So to kind of talk about the design before talking more about Captain Olyun, this was actually originally... Like, this, a Dolene, this is my primary fursona.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, nice.
It existed as my fursona before it became a species, because when I was much younger, I mean, I'm still into kin shit, but you know, when you're like a teenager and you're like, I'm other kin on Tumblr, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of the culmination of that, and it stuck around, and it just became my primary fursona. I have a very cute artwork I can send of my fursona, who is called Starseer, in a little bit. But they were originally... The conceit was predatory deer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why they have antlers.
Uh-huh.
Except it kind of really got away from me on that one, where they went less that, because they are nomadic... like a nomadic species. They are omnivorous, leaning more towards carnivorous. They are predators, as you can see by the teeth that I have drawn here, where they've got very, like, a mix of canid and feline kind of teeth, because alien and I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
With the big, like, tusks. And they're also semi-arboreal. As well, because there are other things on their home planet that want to eat them. That are bigger than them. And these guys are huge. Captain Olyun is in the upper range of length and size. Most Olyun get between 8 to 9 feet long. And are not particularly, like, buff. They tend to be, they have strong, like, forearm, like, their primary forelimbs, and strong legs, and strong, like, core muscles. But Captain Olyun is just ripped
mm-hmm.
for a Dolene, because they are constantly standing on 2 feet.
Look, sometimes you have to take a funny little ferret and say that they're buff as fuck.
Yes, they are between 10 and 11 feet long. They're the upper range of size for a Dolene, and they're the captain of a pirate ship. So, their whole thing, like, when I came up with them, because they were the second character I played in the podcast, like, we did... The first game we played was a game that did not actually require us to have very specific characters. It's called Apotheosis, and it is a myth-making game where we made a creation myth for a planet. The second game was This Town is Full of Monsters, and then the third game was Flotsam, and I played Captain Olyun in Flotsam. And at that time, I did not have as much fleshed out about Dolenes and the universe, obviously, because... The show had just started. Mm-hmm. But they were an outlet for some of like my feelings as I don't know a lot about my family. Like, I know a lot about my immediate family, right? I grew up with them. I know my immediate family, but like history, ancestry, and all that stuff, I don't know anything. Because there's a lot of things in my family that are secrets or were lost when like my great grandparents came from overseas. So I have no connections to that side of the family. And so a lot of like Captain Olyun's struggles as an individual kind of stemmed from me struggling with that, as well as at the time struggling with religion. Because Captain Olyun is some god's little favorite. We have a pantheon, and so it's one of the gods was just like, wouldn't it be funny? And it's not fun for them, for Seer. Seer hates it, actually. So much. Trying to think where to steer this ship, what direction to go in. We're talking about this character.
How'd Seer become a fucking space pirate?
Okay, so that I can't talk about. So there's a lot of this particular lore is lore that like I have talked about, but has not actually been shown like on screen, air quotes, on the podcast, because it's all in the past and we have not actually explored the captain's past that much.
Mm-hmm.
But they see us from a planet that it was very like, you know, space capitalism in like the space capitalist fascist space. Sea was very poor, lived with Seer mother who was struggling health wise and things like that. And had a best friend who was they both wanted off the planet, and they had made plans to both get off the planet at the same time. But then Olyun's mother took a turn for the worse, and C couldn't leave when Seer's best friend did. And when they did finally manage to leave, they had lost contact with said friend and managed to find Seer's self. Like, that's how C got off the planet, was a pirate ship. So it was just kind of the teenage runaway pirate. Although it's less runaway when your mother dies, but you know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, okay, I have nothing else tying me to this planet. Time to go.
Yeah, at that point, you're less running away and more just running.
Yeah, just straight running. And so it was one of those things where it's just the like it's this the quote unquote standard like pirate story at that point, where it's like, yeah, you either like rise the ranks of the ship you're on, or you get your own ship and crew. And I think it was kind of a mix of both, where it got to the point where enough members of the crew preferred Olyun to the actual captain, and so they fucked off to and got their own ship called the Cackle. It is a notorious pirate ship in space. They are well known for smuggling goods, smuggling people, but not like that. They smuggle people out of bad space.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
They smuggle people out of bad space. They disrupt like the fascist capitalist empire supply lines and steal their shit. They're pirates, but they're also, you know, revolutionaries. They weren't originally revolutionaries. That kind of as well, while Olyun was on Hope's Promise, which is the kind of centerpiece planet of Hope's Hearth. While she was there, kind of picked up a few things, like just emotionally managed to like work through some things. Got a girlfriend who is pictured here as this delightfully small, pink, kind of succubus-looking woman wearing an orange Velma sweater. Her name is Pico. She has anxiety, and she throws smoke bombs to escape situations.
Wish that were me.
Yeah.
Right? She's... I fucking love her.
Wish I could just fucking chuck a smoke bomb and poof out anytime I felt like it.
Last time I tried that, everyone got mad at me. Including
Pico's race is one... Pico's race is one where when you see them, like... you see whatever they want you to see based on how they're feeling. So, like, Pico was always constantly trying to blend into the background to the point where, like, people didn't really notice her. Except for the captain. There came a certain point in their relationship where the captain just was seeing her, right? It's very, very gay. They're very... I love my fucking little lesbians. Olyun is sapphic. And I fucking love them so much. If I had a nickel for every time I made a big butch sapphic lesbian character, I'd have 2 nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice.
Only 2?
No, yeah, I'm like...
I have made butches before. I have made them... big butches, and I mean big, has happened twice.
Okay.
The other one is a werewolf.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Werewolf superhero farmer girl. Love her.
Right.
We have feelings about werewolves on this podcast and in this Discord server.
We sure do.
You know, I couldn't have guessed from the channel called Werewolves.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't think either of us is to blame for that title, but we're not going to throw anyone under the bus.
No, I think it might have been me. I forget. Back in Ghost Gaze age.
That's amazing. Pico lives on the Cackle with the captain. Like, Pico is from Hope's Promise and just kind of left with the captain because she... didn't really have anything keeping her on planet, besides the fact that it's just her home, it's what she knew. But she wanted to experience more things. And I can't speak to Malia, my one of the other like cast members, I can't speak to her motivations for that beyond gay. But there's Pico's got a lot of mysteries around her that we haven't fully explored, which I think is just fun. It's fun having this, like, tiny, anxious, pink lesbian who just... you don't know what the fuck's going on with her, except she's got anxiety.
we love a little guy with secrets.
Yeah, we really do.
We also love a little guy with anxiety.
That's true.
Yes.
I'm responsible for so many little guys with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have any questions so far about... things I've mentioned or questions about just stuff? I did not prepare as much for this one as I did for Stag.
No, understandable. So Seer kind of a pirate in the One Piece sense, where they're like
a little bit against
the fascist authorities. Why don't you tell us about like the fucking government and why they suck?
So, we played a game called Galactic, by Riley Rethel. You may know it, you may not. It's an extremely good game. It is literally, I think part of the tagline for it is, what if Star Wars was good?
Uh-huh, yeah.
What if? So often I'm asking this.
Yeah. We played the first edition right before the second edition was released. We did not realize the second edition was going to be coming out, and we were too deep into the game to start over. But we had like inklings of what we wanted the fascist kind of government to be because we were exploring a kind of communist syndicalist sort of utopia with Hope's Promise, because we started this podcast at the first year of the pandemic, and we were all like, we just want to make something that's like ideal. We want something idealized, right? this is our city now. Our podcast, we can do whatever we want. But then we were like, we need something to struggle against. Well, the entire universe can't be this. Like, we could make it this, but that's not interesting. So it's this one solar system. And it's fighting to spread out to, like, bring more planets in under this, like, idea. And but even if they don't want to, like, just kind of try to free them from this fascist empire. And we kind of went, because Galactic is very Star Wars based, the government ended up being very, like, Star Wars, like, government kind of thing. Except what if Palpatine wasn't a secret and was just running the whole thing? Because he fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if he wasn't just the shadow puppeteer, but he was just the guy? And so we ran with that, and we were like, okay, let's start playing some games where we're butting against the, like, fascism. We played, like, Mobile Frame Zero Firebrands and things like that. Which, Stag got to be in that. Stag is in this universe.
Yay. Yeah.
There's a version of him that is in Hope's Hearth. He is a young robot revolutionary, because the robots, there are many robots with sapience in this world, but obviously the fascist government doesn't see them as being sapient or as people. They're still property.
Why would you grant someone humanity when you could simply exploit them for their labor?
Exactly.
That's Star Wars, baby.
That's Star Wars, baby. And we've just kind of explored that more and more. We're currently on a long hiatus from the show because we were all getting a little burnt out on it, and we needed to, like, take a break from it, work on other creative projects. And our next season, which is going to be season 4, is going to focus a lot more on the Mandate. That's what we're calling it. That's also what it's called in Galactic. We just kind of took the name, started running with it. We didn't feel like coming up with something new.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to explore more about the people who are living under this, because we've explored a lot of the people on the fringes, the people outside of it, the people escaping, but we haven't seen the people who are still in it. And that's what it's going to be exploring. It's very hyper-capitalist, fascist, sort of, like, all of the shit that you're just like, oh god, this can never be become real, and yet America's rapidly backsliding into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're exploring that. I think one of the first games that's going to go out on the feed is, what is it called? I think This Machine Has Meat in It.
That's a very fun name.
Yes.
Yeah, it's about a hyper-capitalist society and the workers inside of it and how they exist and stuff. And it's a very fun game. But so the pirates, like, not all pirates kind of follow the same route that the Cackle does. The Cackle has always been kind of more on the, we're not going, like, they never took jobs that were like, transport these slaves, because fuck you. The money was never, like, they were not going to take that money. But then, like, after the captain left Hope's Promise, it kind of became even more like, no, we're joining the revolution. We're going to fuck these guys' shit up. I have seen what it can be like, and we're gonna help make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of, like, because Ulyun was suffering, like, from, like, a crisis of identity as well, because unfortunately on Hope's Promise, C had to come face to face with Seer Worst Nightmare, which is learning that Seer gods are real.
Oh no.
Because the character...
I would hate to find that out about gods.
The character that I played in This Town Is Full of Monsters is one of the gods in the pantheon of gods from the Lost Homeworld that many members of the, like, Dolene diaspora still, like, worship and, like, practice that religion and things like that. But Ulyun has never felt particularly connected to that. Because Ulyun grew up on a planet that had a much smaller Dolene population, so it was there were members of of the community who would, like, meet and, like, do, like, religious, like, small ceremonies, festivals, things like that. But Ulyun was never a part of that because it was not a necessary thing and, you know, shenanigans, stuff. You're a kid, your mom is tired from working constantly. You don't go do extra fun things all the time. You don't go to church all the time. You just end up running around in the streets. But so I had to kind of come face to face with the fact that Seer God is real. And is more... I'm going to use this word in the very loose sense of it, but is more human than Sea thought. Now, all the Dolin who live on this planet are well aware of this. They have seen the Bone God. They are aware that the Bone God is an anxious mess.
Great.
It's an interesting dynamic that I really like having exist, because the Bone God in particular is looks like almost exactly like a Dolin, but is bigger. Hold on, let me get the... I've got the art.
Oh,
so you see the Dolin reference that I have posted. Come on. And then here is the Bone God.
I also love the idea of God is real and has anxiety.
Yes. The thing is the pantheon of gods from this lost planet is the... other of the gods are real. The problem is that they all thought they were dead. Because there's I have so much lore. Because the Bone God is technically dead, and all the other gods are supposed to be dead, but gods don't die, right? They don't actually die. They just become something new, and the Bone God is in the process of becoming something new. And Ulyun got to witness part of that and is having a crisis about it, and is continuing to have a crisis about it, and is coping by not thinking about it. Whereas the Bone God's having a great time, because it's been having a bad time for, like, hundreds of years at this point, and now it's having a great time because it has a boyfriend who looks like Steve Irwin. Make Steve Irwin a trans man, and that is Irwin Rucker. Hello, you get to learn about the other Blorbos from my podcast.
Yay!
At the same time, because they're all interconnected. That's the thing. All these characters, despite us playing games where, like, these characters are in different parts of the universe or may not have direct connections to other characters, they're all connected in some way because of how we've set this up. We're basically creating this, like, network of a revolution that is spreading throughout the entire galaxy to overthrow this fucking government. Unfortunately for Ulyun, C has become the kind of, like, face of it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not 100%, because you don't want Ulyun, like, doing, speeches and shit. But, like, using the cackle and its notoriety as propaganda, you know, that we actually played If Not Us Then Who, and that was part of it. It was like a propaganda TV show, but Super Sentai, and like the primary crew of the cackle were not actually the main characters. They made up people so that they wouldn't have to try and make the real thing. But like the Ulyun, Seer First Mate, etc., like, all feature in the show. It's very fun. It's very fun.
Rules.
We had Riley guest with us on that one, the author. Awesome. We had Riley guest with us, and they made a character named Joe Arson.
Good character name.
Yes.
I love Joe Arson so much. But yeah, so like, there's a lot going on with Ulyun as a character, and then that's like the broad scope things, and then we do a lot of games that have to do with like the more intimate emotional things. So we played Long Night in the Mech Bay, which I believe we called that episode Long Night in the Mech Gay, because I misspoke and said gay, because the episode was gay. where Ulyun was confronted. So Ulyun's best friend from childhood, they became rivals. They became pirate rivals. Because it's fun. And it's Sam Alexson, who uses she or he interchangeably. I love Sam Alexson. And there was a period of time, because Ulyun was on Hope's Promise for a while, and then kind of went dark for a while doing, like, planning and things like that, where Sam thought Ulyun was dead. Only to learn that, no, in fact, C is alive. But then Ulyun thought Sam was dead, because Sam was supposed to be dead. Like, Ulyun, it was just a rumor. Sam was supposed to be dead. It was like a whole thing, except it turns out, nope, Sam was working for the Mandate.
That's not good.
Nope. And that's the whole part of the Galactic game. My clone character, because I love the clones, and Star Wars did them so bad and dirty.
Mm-hmm.
As they do many things that are interesting, but my Force-sensitive clone sort of broke him out of that agreement, but now he's like unstable and shit. But yeah, it's fine, they're fine. It's fine. And the Long Night in the Mech Bay game was them running across each other in like a sort of space station, like a between space station, to fix up their ships, do some maintenance and stuff, and they ran into each other in the dead of night, and started like reminiscing about their past and things like that. And the whole thing with them being rivals is that while they were like rivals before all of the thing happened, where they both like quote unquote died and then shit happens, Sam was in love with Ulyun, but Ulyun was not in love with Sam. And then Long Night in the Mech Bay game was sort of that realization of Sam having what we could have had something, but that time has passed, and Ulyun realizing I've lost something that I can never get back again. That game was very emotional, and I greatly enjoy doing games like that. It showed a side of Ulyun that had not been seen on screen a whole lot, except with, like, Pico. Because Ulyun is very, like, gruff and coarse and brusque, doesn't take shit, can be, like, loud and boisterous and friendly, but it's very, like, their introduction was, like, C's introduction was, this is my grumpy-ass character. And getting to see these, like, more moments of, like, complexity with Seer has always been, like, something I enjoy doing. I need to do another game like that. Wiggles them. Picks them up like a ferret, wiggles them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have something like that, but it's of the Bone God, but it's still good. Hold on. I think it's in... Where? Nope, that's not right. Art for me. There it is. pictured is a ferret that has been recolored purple, given antlers and little gold detailing and really long fangs, being held by the scruff.
Incredible.
It's very good.
It's so good. I love the Doline. I love Ulyun. And other Doline have shown up in the show as well, but Ulyun is the one that has had the most sort of screen time, because look at them. Gestures. To talk about. There's other things about this character that I'm just like, brain no work.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys have questions or curiosities,
Let's see. Has C ever watched the Toku show?
The Toku show?
Yeah, from your If Not Us Then Who campaign.
Oh, yeah, the propaganda, like, Super Sentai show. Yes.
Good shit. What is your thoughts?
So they hadn't watched, C hadn't watched it before leaving Hope's Promise, but knew, because it existed before then, which is very funny, and it just became more propaganda as they started getting more into this, because it was just a whole thing. The timeline of events for that is a little wibbly, and we're not going to talk about it. Uh-huh. but so after they left Hope's Promise, they watched the show and they were just like, I'm glad I'm not the main character. Mm-hmm. But if these were actually members of my crew, they would have been fired.
You mean C wouldn't employ a motherfucker named Joe Arson?
So Joe Arson is actually one of the bad guys. Mm-hmm. He's the bumbling goon.
Uh-huh.
No. Let me tell you about Riley Hopkins' fucking character for this fucking game.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Whose name was AMPM. Spelled the way you think it is.
Uh-huh.
He's an ostrich.
Uh-huh. Good. Like it already.
He's an absolutely normal human man. I hate him. I don't actually hate him. I fucking love AMPM, but also, Riley Hopkins makes the best and worst characters ever.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I am listening to Interstitial Infinity currently, and Riley's Shadow the Hedgehog is a real troublemaker.
Oh boy. Yes. I hadn't found out who the which characters were in the new one. Oh, that's gonna be so good.
We also have Mob from Mob Psycho 100, and yeah. Alphonse Elric, and is it Audrey or Aubrey?
I'm not sure. I haven't watched.
It's one of the girls for the Saw movies, and then another.
Not Saw. I thought it was like the Scream TV series.
Yeah, no. There's a character from Scream, and then I think there's a character from Saw.
Oh. Okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, it is the character from Scream, and then a JoJo character.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I haven't seen that far into JoJo, so I don't remember her name.
It's Trish, but it's one from of Golden the Wind.
Ah, yes.
Aww.
Yeah. So Riley makes some fun characters. Riley makes fun character decisions. When I said that AMPM was a human kinny, I was told to shut. While Riley died.
God.
It's like, no, you have to own this now. You made a human kinny. You made an ostrich who's a human kinny who's a total normally human man. Who comes from a society of totally normal humans, except they're all ostriches. Mm-hmm. I played a serpent who was whose power was car.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
we had a mouse, we had a plant person. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Good shit.
Yeah, there's
we love Super Sentais.
There's something I would like to talk about.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So like this character sheet that you have here.
Uh-huh.
The like the facing forward head. I just love it.
Oh yeah, the front view.
Yeah, the front view is just amazing. Love that.
Have you ever seen a deer face on?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very much like that, but make it kind of a cat.
Uh-huh.
And then make it much spookier because it's got forward-facing eyes, because deer don't have forward-facing eyes.
Yeah.
I fucking love Dolene so much.
Mm-hmm.
They're great.
Pretty good.
I have other Dolene drawings. These were just, like, the easy ones to grab. I say easy, as if I had any easy ability to find them. I struggle constantly, but like...
No, it's an easy ability.
Yeah, this is fair. So Doleen, as characters, I said they were semi-arboreal, which helps a lot, as you can see from the first art I posted, with them being in ship rigging. Because they've got the feet that can grabby things, kind of like... Have you ever seen a chameleon grab something?
Mm-hmm.
It's very like that. And then they've got the forearms. They also have 6 fingers on their hands.
I noticed that. Like I even went and looked at the other pictures and counted them.
I tried to keep it consistent. The Bone God's the only one who doesn't, because he's got like those big... it has those big bappy paws.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But Doleen have 6 fingers. No, I haven't read too much Animorphs. I actually made that choice without even thinking about Animorphs.
I know nothing about Animorphs other than seeing the book covers.
Andalites have 6 fingers on their hands. And so it's just alien with 6 fingers. Weird alien with too many limbs and 6 fingers on its hands. Oh, no. That looks vaguely deer-like.
Oh, I was gonna just say keep them away from, Inigo Montoya.
That's yeah, true. This is true. But so, Doleen have their primary arms, which are centered kind of in the same place that, like, our shoulders are a little bit, but they can go from being like quadrupedal to bipedal pretty easily. It's very, I guess, more like ape-esque or lemur. I think lemur would probably be the better analog for that. I'm not good at drawing that. I need to actually update this sheet because it's from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And their primary arms are not as good with delicate manipulation, like anything that requires any proper dexterity, their primary hands can't manage as well, because they're meant, one, their thumbs are very small on that hand, like not small, but like, you know how pandas are?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, but there's a little bit more range of dexterity for grabbing and climbing, whereas their tertiary arms, which are the smaller ones just underneath. Yes, they do have 2 sets of biceps. Thank you very much. I'm not a fucking coward. and so the secondary arms are much more for manipulation and things, and they can actually, like, tuck them close, carry things. Those are the hands that they use to write with. When they're writing anything or doing artwork or any weave work and manipulation like that. Olyun doesn't have an artistic hobby that I have come up with yet. They might. I haven't come up with it yet. The tertiary arms are the ones that wield the gun. Because there's guns.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is kind of the vibe I get. Let me know if I'm off base. Olyun looks like a whittler to me.
Oh yeah, Olyun.
Excuse me.
You know, that actually wouldn't be a bad hobby to give Seer. They've got enough anger that they just take it out on the wood. and then like the Doleen normally, so you see how in the 3 pictures of Olyun, C is wearing sort of like pants and then like a wrap over Seer's shoulders. So mm-hmm. Doleen normally don't wear clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Their bits are all internal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more socially acceptable in many places for them to just be naked. Mm-hmm. If they do wear clothing, it's more like they're wearing like shawls or just covers
mm-hmm.
that go over like their upper torso and like their shoulders and like just down part of their back.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll wear a belted sort of like pack, like mm-hmm. kind of saddlebag-esque, but you know, that's most quadrupedal creatures.
I love these pants you designed.
Thank you, with the corsetting up the, the back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's, I got that from a post on Tumblr about tiefling fashion.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And I've gone with it with every tailed character I have had. because I think it's fun. Dolene can...
That's a good convention. We like some, we like laces.
Yes, they're very, very good. Dolene, these kind of clothes really lend well with Dolene as well, because they can twist themselves around way further than, like, we can as, mm-hmm. as human people. Mm-hmm. Dolene also have an extra joint in their neck that allows them to flip their head completely backwards.
Oh
like,
my.
Just flop it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know how some dogs can do that, and it's like, why are you like this? Dolene can do that, but more to the extreme. It's to help them look behind themselves while they're in trees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, very good at climbing. Olyun is very, very good at climbing. Unfortunately, most spaceships that are of, like, standard size don't have Dolene crew because Dolene are so big. Like, they might, because Dolene at their shoulders are about 4 or 5 feet-ish. They're not very tall, like, mm-hmm. when they're on all fours. When they're stood up the way that, like, Captain Olyun is here, they're much, much taller, obviously, but they don't... The vast majority of Dolene don't stand like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a Captain Olyun thing, because of how sea... was sort of raised outside of like Dolene community and just sort of picked up on standing on 2 feet. Something as a young child was probably bullied for being on all fours in a very like bipedal centric society.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why Olyun's got some very, very strong core muscles, and as C gets older is gonna have a lot of back problems. Yeah.
This is reminding me so much of my halflings from Fellowship. Like, they're also based on ferrets, so mm-hmm. that's one
yes.
thing. They could be bipedal or quadrupedal, but mm-hmm. Actually most of them are exclusively bipedal because it's just considered gauche to go on all fours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I made one that's adopted and really buff.
Yeah. also, their clothing optional, primarily mm-hmm. because when I was drawing my one halfling character, I tried drawing pants on them. It just wasn't working. I was like, okay, they're gonna wear like a little vest and some boots, and that's it.
Sometimes you just gotta Donald Duck it.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta Donald Duck it. I'm about to send some more art I have of both the Bone God and Olyun. The Olyun art is a plushie that I own in real life that
aww.
One of the fans of my show made me.
Oh my god.
That is the most awesome thing.
That rules.
It is my favorite thing. I love this so much. Ben, who doesn't really have a social media, but found us from... found Hope's Hearth through Abbey Archives, my Redwall show, because we used to post our episodes on the Redwall Reddit, and that's where he was primarily. And then he started listening to Hope's Hearth and just really got into making like little tiny plushies of some of the characters. Like, there's more. This is just the only one he paid shipping for to send overseas because he lives in the UK. And then these are the little pencil drawing is done by my co-host on Abbey Archives of the Bone God, all curled up like a fucking noodle,
mm-hmm.
Because the Eastern dragon sort of likening that you made earlier about Dolene is not incorrect.
Uh-huh.
I realized, I think, when I was drawing some, like, I can't remember if it was me. Like my fursona or the Bone God or Olyun, but I was drawing a Dolene, and I was like, I made a dragon, didn't I? And everybody I was in a call with was like, you didn't realize this? I was like, no, I did not.
I love how one of its little leggies is just sticking out in back there. It's very good.
Kit makes very expressive artwork. I fucking love Kit's art. Let me
good
see.
Shit.
Let me find the piece that I did of myself, which I think I did last year. This is my fursona, Starseer.
Oh.
Dressed in much more modern clothing.
Look at these little rave fishnets.
I wish I could wear that outfit.
Same. I wish I owned this outfit.
Look at those long overalls.
this is Starseer. And I love Sea to Death. My favorite persona. Like, normally I draw myself as the little deer because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
I can draw Sean Deer all day, every day, no problems. I can draw them freehand and all that shit. But Starseer is just picks them up like a ferret and wiggles them. Fucking love this little fucker.
Hell yeah.
Just, I fucking love Dolene. This went from talking about Blorbo to just being like, I love this made up alien species from this planet.
Honestly, yeah. Good species though.
Uh-huh.
I like doing species design.
I like the versatility of like putting one in like space pirate getup and then this one just like fucking non-binary raver, mm-hmm. fucking glow necklace boba tea motherfucker over there.
You want to see another race from this planet?
Yes.
You want to see another race?
Absolutely.
So these are called Yehia. These are the things that are bigger than Dolene are and eat them. They also, the vast majority of the races from this lost planet are in a diaspora because of the non-specific event that I need to come up with. Still, right now, it's just kind of the thing happened a long time ago, and now people aren't on that planet. The planet didn't get destroyed, but we don't know where it is. And it's not the thing from the myth that happened that almost destroyed the planet. It's a different thing.
Or you just gotta retrace your steps and figure out where you left the planet.
Yeah, you ever just put your fucking planet down, and then next time you turn around, you're like, ah, shit, where did I leave that thing?
Basically. This is a Yehia. They are, think maned wolf, but make them way more uncanny.
I'm looking at these unusual teethers.
Their mouth opens into three sections.
Okay.
Yeah, this guy's got a mouth that opens long ways and sideways.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so the bottom jaw is one piece. The bottom jaw is one, it's still one singular jaw, but the upper jaw splits open. Because I liked that idea. Don't ask me how it works anatomically, it just does.
Also, they just got that long, toothy Fangmon snout.
Yeah, I want to know what this guy's profession is.
Ace pilot for another pirate ship.
Heck yeah.
Played her in a game of Sapphic Space Pirates by Charm Person Games. Highly recommend that game. It is exactly what it says on the tin. Wonderful, delightful. This character's name is Bodica. I also love her. She is an ace pilot hotshot. Now, Dolene can speak other languages as is, like their vocal cords lend to other languages fairly decently. Not all of them, but they can speak whatever the common galactic language is. Yehia cannot. So that thing around her neck is a vocoder. That if she touches it, it translates her, what she's saying, into like words that other people can understand.
Mm-hmm.
In Yehia, the secondary set of arms is their primary set of arms. They're the ones that do all of the heavy lifting and can't do the manipulating, the delicate manipulation and dexterous work. Whereas their first set of arms is the tertiary, more delicate, dexterous arms that also, as you can see, have six fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They are not arboreal, but they are very tall. I say they're bigger than Dolene, and in a way, it's more like they're just taller than Dolene. It's like a wolf and a deer, which are kind of similar in size, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we usually think, because cartoons and shit, they show, like, oh, the wolves are actually much smaller than the deer, and it's like, that depends on the species of deer. But if you had, like, a gray wolf next to a white tail, like, they're kind of similar in size, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that deer's got more going on from top to bottom, but that wolf's got the muscle. Got the density, yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of similar with Yahia and Dolene. And the thing is like, in the diaspora, they don't practice this predatory behavior that they did on their home planet. Because on the home planet, that was just how it was. That was the society that they were in. And it's kind of hard to explain that, because it's not cannibalism, but technically it is, because they're both sapient races, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the same species, and it's one of those where it's like, it's how it is. There's kind of like that respect there. You, like, the Yahia put in the effort to catch the Dolene, and it's just how it is. The Dolene prey, there's another sapient race, the Swifts, that the Dolene prey on, that look kind of like six-legged jackalopes. Everything is on the six-legged body plan on this planet, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. And there's the Ifyas, which are large serpentine creatures that actually they've lost their third set of limbs, because their primary set of limbs became wings, and their third set of limbs became vestigial. If you look at their skeletal structure, you can still see them, kind of like how you can still see that whales have legs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have little vestigial leg bones, or snakes will sometimes have little vestigial leg bones. But they've lost their, like, their leggies. They've got their two sets of, like, four limbs and no leggies. And a fun thing about all of these species, and I have not come up with all of them, I've come up with about half of them, is they're all made in likeness to one of the gods in the pantheon. They're called inheritor races to the planet. There's a whole bunch of lore to this that I never get to talk about. I don't know if we have time for me to sit and talk about it.
We have a little time.
So, there are seven gods. I have not come up with... technically, I've kind of come up with all of them, but I haven't come up with all of them. There is an episode in the Hopesarth podcast feed that is actually a short story that I wrote about the event that caused all the gods to die. It's called Death of the Bone God. And that's not the Bone God's actual god name. It's just what the kind of, like, shorthand name.
Mm-hmm.
for it, because it's easier to say than, hold on. They have a very long name that's very, like, I really like long prose names, or things that were, like, lyrics in songs. Theirs is something that I just fucking made up. It has to do with this event. What happened is one of the gods, who is known as the Fallen, sort of got corrupted by this, like, goop, known as the Blackness. And what happened is the Fallen sort of, as each of the gods came after her to stop her, she killed them. Until the last gave her, she basically died giving her power to the Bone God so that it could eat the Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
and destroy her. Where is this artwork? What the fuck? Did I do this in 2021? I hate this. I hate myself. It is a mystery.
Someone get Scooby-Doo on this shit.
I did do this in 2021. God, Jesus. Anyway, Okay, go. It's got amazing devil lyrics on it.
Oh, look at this spooky motherfucker.
Yeah. So the Bone God used to look a lot more like the other, like the Doleen. But because it has consumed the Fallen, there's shadow and darkness. Like, the patterning on its coat changes because it's actually swirling shadows. And this is something that has not come up in the podcast, and I desperately want to figure out how to get it to come up in the podcast. Like, she is always talking to it, and this is why it has anxiety. but so, yeah, the Fallen was sort of consuming the world with rot and decay because it did not have an inheritor race. I can't talk about this bit so much because this is going to be a plot point in the later parts of Hope's Hearth. Like, there's somewhat of an overarching plot. Not a lot of one, but somewhat. But her inheritor race is not a specific race. It's a sort of like cast of people. And we've kind of hinted at it a little bit, but we haven't gone into it yet, so that's why I don't want to say specifically what it is, for spoilers. But so part of the reason why she got so infected with this decay and this rot is because she was jealous of her siblings, who had their inheritor races that they had sort of molded and created, and she couldn't. She had not been given the ability to do so by the twin sons that created the gods of this planet. It's a lot, and like the myth of the story doesn't get into all of the emotions. Like, when you realize that these gods were real and these things happened, it's like, oh man, you must be fucked up, huh? And now imagine your Olyun learning your gods are real.
God.
So we have the Bone God. There's He Who Laughs, who is also known as Jasper. He's come up a couple of times in the podcast. I love him. I don't have what he looks like as a Yehia fully drawn out, but I think I have art that somebody made for me if I can find it. He is a little shit, and I love him. Is it in this folder? The answer is no.
Yeah,
why is he not in this folder?
I would assume anyone named He Who Laughs would be a little shit.
Yeah, I named him that, not realizing that the initials basically spell out Howl. So he's also known as Howl.
Oh boy.
And he is also known as Jasper.
This one time I came across a bar named The Thirst and Howl. And I knew it could be themed two different ways. And I was very disappointed that it was Gilligan's Island themed instead of Vampire and Werewolf.
So rude.
Incredibly rude.
Jasper has a tendency, I've posted an image of him, he's just like this. The image is of a darker skinned man with kind of mutton chops and the greaser slick back hair and two little wolf ears sticking out from the side of his head. He's got it's not a split tongue. No, he has two tongues. All Yehia do.
I count two of them.
Yeah.
All Yehia have two tongues, and he's sort of licking his lip. It's great. The art I was hoping to find is similar, but it shows he's a bear. He's built like a bear. I wish I knew where that one was. Oh my god. But so he likes to, especially after having died, he did not sort of reform on the planet. He reformed out in the galaxy and has not been able to find his way back. Because the planet was lost. It's been difficult even for the gods to find it again. And so he has been interacting with, like, mortals and stuff as this, like, more humanoid-looking form. Because as a god, he looks like a Yahia, but more. You know, the same way the bone god looks like a Doleen, but more.
Mm-hmm.
I did a clay sculpture of him once, and I don't know where that went. I love my little guys for this.
They're very good little guys.
Thank you. They all show up in my podcast that I do. I am the one who is just, I am the token, like, I make up all the weird aliens. Now, I have not made up all of them. My fellow cast members have come up with some very good ones. Pico was all Malia, like, her race of, like, we haven't come up with a name for them, but they exist. Dirk came up with the Klintex, which is a hive mind race of crystal and rock people. Adore the Klintex. Kit, who is not a regular cast member, but she came up with these little creatures called gopher eels, and they are, you know, gulper eels, like those deep sea creatures that can just, like, swallow massive things.
I haven't heard of these, but...
Oh, okay, hold on. they're very horrifying.
Yes.
Boy. There you go. There's a gif of a gulper eel. they're very small, but they can swallow things that are, like, 4 or 5 times their size. Kit made these things called gopher eels, which are gulper eels, but what if you made them kind of prairie dog ferret-ish?
Uh-huh. Oh no.
I love them. They're so goofy. It's the thing. We have, there's bird people, there's cat people, there's dogs. Dogs are super important to Hope's Hearth. In a way that I don't think even the audience really fully understands, despite the fact that the entire creation myth for Hope's Promise centers around dog with a capital D. Like, dogs are, like, the whole thing. And to take what you think of when you think of a dog and then be like, what is a dog to a rock person?
That's like a fucking fucked up little alien horror creature, huh?
Mm-hmm. But it's not like the definition of dog is so broad in this. It's just because there are many species of creature that could be considered dog.
Huh.
You know?
Okay.
And it's just sort of the common word for these creatures, these companion work animals.
Okay, so dog is kind of like a whole broad archetype in this
yes.
universe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, nice. And they're very important, and they know more than you think they do. There's a mystery on Hope's Promise from This Town Is Full of Monsters, which is every day at the same time, all the dogs turn and look in the same direction. And where they're looking is a pit in the middle of one of the cities. That just kind of stardust drifts out of, because stardust is sort of like a magical something. Because y'all know what Friends at the Table is, right?
Yeah,
I've heard of it.
Y'all know the Twilight Mirage.
I don't.
I've heard of it.
The Twilight Mirage is like space, but make it like cloudy and like multicolored and. Yeah, it's that, because I'm normal. We're all normal. Many of us on the podcast have listened to Friends at the Table in Twilight Mirage, and you know, just there's a lot of things going on here. And I just like speculative biology and aliens.
It's fun.
And we were talking about one character, and now we're here.
Yep. Now we're here. Man, what are all those dogs looking at the hole for? What's in there?
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question. We had an ending bit with the Bone God for the Flotsam game. No, for the This Town Is Full of Monsters game, where it was led back to, it was led to the hole in the middle of the city and went into the hole and the hole closed. And
oh, no.
Yeah, well, they're looking at, no. at where the bones are then.
No, that's not where the bones are. The bones are on, so the moon for this planet is a dog, by the way.
Okay.
Who will leave and then bring things back. One of the things that was brought back was the Bone God's bones. Where did it get those? We don't know. But it brought them here, and now the Bone God exists here instead of where it's supposed to exist, which is on the lost planet. The moon dog also brought Olyun to Hope's Promise, because Moon Dog just sometimes brings people.
Mm-hmm. What a good doggy.
The Moon Dog is the best dog. The Moon Dog is the Clintex's, like, capital D dog analog. Like, the myth goes that Dog had, I think it was like 6 puppies or something like that, and they all had, like, they were for, like, the start of the myth was Dog was trying to find a place to have her puppies, and then it turned into, all of these puppies were, like, specialized for different problems that, were being had by the people on planet, because the planet isn't, like, it's a made planet. It was created by refugees who were carrying pieces of their old planets because the fascist empire blew them up.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and so they kind of, like, stuck them all together around this weird asteroid that had weird gravity, and the asteroid was the Clintex, and the Clintex, like, invited them all to stay there. And invited the refugees to stay, and oh my god, I fucking love our podcast, and I love that first set of episodes where we played Apotheosis so fucking much, because it sets up, it is such a good microcosm of what the podcast is, in that, like, bunch of episodes, because we're not playing specific characters, we're making a myth.
Hell yeah.
Everyone should play Apotheosis by Gordy Murphy. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, that sounds like a hell of a lot of fun, honestly.
It is such a good game. Like, it's so good.
God, I love
play it again.
Yeah, I wanna, like, play more world building games. I don't know exactly when, or why, but you know.
It's just fun to make a world. Kit and I played another one, this is where the gopher eels came from, called The Land Whispers, which is a kind of Quiet Year-ish type game, where we played some scientists discovering a new, like, environment on Hope's Promise.
Hell yeah.
You know those caves that have their own, like, weather systems?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It was that. We were like, what if this? And then we went with it.
Hell yeah.
Because it's fun. We have so much fun. Like, Wiggles, all of the Blorbos from Me Show.
Yes.
H.R. Owen voice, Blorbo from Me Show?
If we wanna transition into plugs, now would be a very smooth time to do that. Where can uh-huh. we find this show?
So, Hope's Hearth can be found on your podcatcher of choice, and it can be found on Tumblr at Hope's Hearth Pod. We used to have a Twitter, but it's still there, but we're not using it. I keep meaning to make a Blue Sky. I haven't yet. Because I'm lazy.
Social media is just bad to be on. You're valid for
it's
not having one.
It's a nightmare. Tumblr is as much social media as I need. We are on hiatus right now, which means it's the perfect time to catch up on 3 seasons of Insanity. We have, we take guests onto our show to play games with us. One of our more notable guests was William A. Wellman, writer, creator, producer, voice actor, etc. for Hello from the Hallowoods. That game was phenomenally fun. I played a trans, femme werewolf in it.
Hell yeah.
I love her.
Nice.
I make many good characters, as I have said.
You do.
I'm a character-making machine. The primary place is, like, we're on Pinecast, so you can find us at Hope's Hearth on Pinecast. Like, I think it's like hopeshearth.pinecast.something. If you want our RSS feed. It's pinecast.com/feed/hopeshearth. Or hopeshearth.pinecast.co. And again, you find us on Tumblr. You can find the other shows that I do on Tumblr also. Abby Archives, Redwall Reread and Analysis Podcast, where we read the Redwall books and yell at a dead man for using racist tropes in children's novels. I frequently threaten to summon him with a Ouija board.
Sometimes old man's gotta be taught a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can find that on Tumblr at Abby Archives. My SCP podcast, SCP Research Archives, can also be found on Tumblr at SCP Research Archives. That is an SCP article reading podcast, but instead of it being the usual sort of like it's just somebody reading the articles, it's a very tired archivist who was given this job by their very spacey director on top of all of their other shit that they've got to do, and they're tired, and they're reading these for archival purposes and accessibility compliance, and they're tired.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
That's what work does to you.
It really is. Yeah, my voice for that, because I voice act the main character, my voice for that is just my it's after work and I'm tired voice. They make lots of fun little asides and commentary on the SCPs because they're not taking this job seriously. It is an extra added thing to their massive workload.
Uh-huh.
They're just like, no, I'm not gonna, no. Unless if the O5 Council complains about this, I don't give a shit. and I'm also using SCP Research Archives as a springboard for other small voice actors who want to have voice acting credits to under their belts.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because I think that there needs to be more shows like that, and this is one that lends really well to one-off voice acting credits.
Hell yeah, that's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got... there's two more.
Alright.
Colchis, which you can find at Colchis on Tumblr. It is not out yet. We are still writing it. Last year was a fuck zone for all three of us as the writers. But we are working on it now, and we're hoping to have it finished this year so we can start releasing, doing everything to release it next year. But that is a sci-fi horror podcast about two xenobiologists cataloging and exploring a new planet. One is on the surface of the planet and one is orbiting above, and they have to deal with loneliness and whatever this planet happens to throw at them. And lesbians. They're lesbians. It's great.
Hell yeah.
We love lesbians in this house.
Of course.
And Cauterized, which is a post-apocalyptic horror audio drama about a team of scientists and researchers exploring the surface of Earth to see if it's safe for humans to be on again. It's the spoiler, it's not. and I'm not writing on that one, but I am a voice actor. I play one of the main characters, awesome. Naomi Amore. Yeah.
Sick.
I got lots of shit. I'm also doing a podcast making jam right now. And, Colchis was actually from a podcast making jam. That was from the One Mic Stand podcast jam that
hell yeah.
Podcast Minds did.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fun. And now I'm doing another one where I'm actually only doing the podcast art because I don't have time to do writing and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, understandable.
I also do art. Finger Guns, which you can find on my Tumblr, and where you can find me on Tumblr and Blue Sky at Lotsa Deer. LOTSA Deer.
Hell yeah. Is that all the plugs?
That's all the plugs. I'm sorry, I have so many things. I got very autistic about podcasts and like making them. I'm the little TBH creature.
Sometimes that's how it be, sometimes yeah. You just gotta make a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
It is an art form, and I am an artist.
Hell yeah. So I have, speaking of other podcasts, I have one called We Rate Queerbait. It's, if you simply want to hear about, if you want to listen to a podcast where you may have a queer headcanon about a certain character, listen to us tell you that you're right. If you watched fucking Sonic X and you were like, boy, that little boy sure got it bad for Sonic, then we will corroborate this observation for you. I'm also on for Affinity with the username Space Robot. I'm not doing commissions right now. I'm too tired for that shit. But you can go there and check out my gallery anyway.
I gave up on for Affinity so long ago.
I'm also on an upcoming audio drama pilot project. Details forthcoming. That's it for me.
All right. Hi, I'm normal Izzy. Well, not normal, but the Izzy who's here a lot.
Izzy, parentheses, regular, parentheses, frequent.
Yes.
Izzy, parentheses, recurring.
Yes. Well, no, you're a recurring Izzy now, too.
I have only occurred twice.
Uh-huh.
I am an anomaly and should not be counted.
Ah.
We say as if we're not also me and Morb planning on doing an SCP-only episode.
Yes. All right. So, I'm Izzy. I don't have social media. I don't have fur affinities or anything else, so if you want to find me, you have to get on Discord. There's a Discord for this podcast. It's in the show notes. Go check it out. You can also...
It's a good Discord. Can confirm.
Absolutely. We are top tier. We even have, like, Mondays and Fridays, normally some group calls with, watching stuff. It's really good.
Yeah. We're doing Cosmo Mondays right now, where we watch the aforementioned show of Sonic X, but only season 3, where they're in space. And, and Tails has a tree girlfriend.
Yeah, I think we may be done with that by the time this gets published, though.
I mean, probably, yeah. We're looking at a few options to go with after.
We sure are.
After Sonic X.
Yeah, and then check out this guy is a part of the noisepace.xyz network. Thank you, Matt GameCube. And I just went and looked to see like what shows have come out recently. And I'm immediately seeing Prime Cuts with an episode title of Spider Dads and Robot Yaoi.
Mm-hmm. That's some good shit right there.
Uh-huh.
Sounds about right for Prime Cuts.
Yep. All right, put me out of my misery.
All right, what else? Did we talk about the Twitter or not the Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
The Tumblr and the co-host. They're both check out this guy. They're really easy to find.
They sure are.
All right.
They're also in the show notes.
All right. I think that's everything. So I guess until next week,
make yourself a long ferret.
Yes,
that's true. Ferret alien.
Everyone, make a weird ferret.
I will join the Discord so you can see the reference sheet for what they look like. That way, you can make your own because I'm about to post it to the Show Us Your Guys channel.
Hell yeah!
Just make them long. See you later, yes. Everyone.
Make your guys long.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Peace.